Hey, fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch Show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Could you imagine being in a group and loving everyone equally?
No.
It's being called the new relationship revolution, polyamory, engaging in multiple intimate relationships at the same time, with nearly half of marriages ending in divorce.
The main reasons why divorces happen is infidelity.
Less couples are saying I do, and more young people are experimenting with a new kind of love.
How did you feel when I told you that I was polyamorous?
It feels like it's really all just centered around sex.
Don't get frustrated, Willow.
Redefining relationships.
All right, we brought your boyfriend with you.
Remodeling romance.
How many other relationships are you involved in right now?
Rewriting the rules.
You consider yourself a poly newbie.
Is traditional marriage a thing of the past?
The history of marriage really irks me.
Stay tuned.
I have to interrupt because I am struggling here. I am struggling.
Willow.
Back at the table.
Willow and her polyamory explorations.
Yes. I love it.
Oh, God.
Do you believe in monogamy? Being with one person romantically and sexually till death do us part, honey? For many younger people, like Willow, the answer is no. Instead, they are choosing polyamory, which means having multiple emotional and romantic partners at the same time. This has been a journey for you, Miss Willow. How did you make this decision?
With polyamory, I feel like the main foundation is the freedom to be able to create a relationship style that works for you and not just stepping into monogamy because that's what everyone around you says is the right thing to
right.
do. So
right.
I was like, how can I structure the way that I approach relationships with that in mind?
Yeah.
Also, doing research into polyamory, the main reasons why monogamous relationships or why marriage why divorces happen is infidelity.
Yeah.
For somebody like me, it feels like it's really all just centered around
sex. I mean, I'll give
sex.
You an example. Let's say you haven't always been the kind of person that wanted to have sex all the time, mm-hmm. but your partner is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be the person to say, you know, just because I don't have these needs, you can't have them either?
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
so that's kind of one of the reasons why I actually was interested in poly, because I was introduced to it through kind of a non-sexual lens.
Right.
Okay.
In my friend group, I'm the only polyamorous person, and I have the least sex out of all of my friends. So how did you feel when I told you that I was polyamorous?
When you were like, hey, this is my get down, I was like, I totally get it. Wanting to set up your life in a way that you can have what it is that you want. I think anything goes as long as the intentions are clear. You know what I mean?
To everyone yeah. involved
to
and
everyone,
to yourself.
Really more to yourself than anything,
yeah.
right? And I know that there's a lot of beauty that sits outside of the conventional boxes.
Let's not negate just the simple, because there are people that still enjoy marriage as it is today.
100%.
Yes. I happen to enjoy being married, even though I've been married several
and that's
times
a beautiful
and I've
thing.
Been through.
We don't want it to wrong with
this
that.
This isn't about changing a paradigm that works for people.
Exactly.
This isn't about that.
It's about being able to have the freedom to create a
okay.
relationship
well,
for
then,
yourself.
I'm good then.
It's almost like you're born, you go to school, you go to college, you get married,
you have kids.
You have the picket fence. But a lot of people have done that and felt unfulfilled in their lives.
Right.
But I also think you have to be careful in these particular dynamics because they can be a little distracting. Meaning,
you have to be careful in monogamy too. That
you
can
do.
Be distracting as
no,
well.
No. but here's the difference between monogamous relationships.
Yes.
When you have those monogamous boundaries, you're actually forced to have to
not
just listen to what I'm saying, okay? Just take a minute, just listen to what I'm saying. When you have those boundaries that are put in
mm-hmm.
and you aren't giving yourselves the opportunity to go call Jane or to go
right.
call Robert when things aren't going well mm-hmm. within your
right
in your relationship,
totally.
Right? It makes you have to confront and look at things in a different manner.
100%.
Right? So all I'm saying is that in these kinds of dynamics, in just being careful that we're not trying to dodge the raindrops.
There's comfort in that it provides to almost like a social order.
Yes.
To life and setting boundaries and commitments.
Most people are practicing monogamy because they feel like they have no other choice.
Right.
We all know that most people out here doing unethical non-monogamy any damn way.
That's the reason.
That's called cheating, y'all.
Most people's out here just acting a fool.
But that's also why it's important to be able to have the discussion beforehand, which is where I think people fall short, especially today. Because let me tell you something. Having been married four times, Rodney and I had some... Rodney and I had some serious conversations.
You have to.
About what does this mean to you? Even outside of the counseling that you get from your pastor before you get married. Because most people that get married... will get counseling from their pastors because there is a religious aspect to it, a God aspect to it, Jada.
Yeah, for sure.
And we had deep conversation about what does this mean to us?
Yeah.
What do we want to create for ourselves? And we actually talked about polyamory. Mm-hmm. Was that something that we wanted to explore? We had that conversation.
But see, the difference is that you and Rodney have lived so much life.
Right.
Right. So when you're talking to a 20-year-old who is thinking about being married. So let's see, I got married at 25.
Wow.
25, 24, one of those, Jesus. And the problem is if you go into a relationship thinking that this is going to be exactly how it is today, till the day
that you die,
that I die, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, and you're sadly mistaken.
You're sadly mistaken. Now, regardless what the dynamic of the love is going to be, so
100%.
Whether it's five people 100%. Involved, whether it's just two people involved, and whatever it is,
it's going to change.
It's going to change.
That's where the conversation comes in.
Exactly.
It's the practicing monogamy has to be a choice that you make, just like practicing polyamory.
Absolutely. 100%. So that's the thing. That's the only part about marriage today and monogamy that I think is antiquated, that monogamy has to be your
default
choice.
Yeah.
Right. It can't be because I'm told I'm supposed to do it this way.
Right.
That, my dear, is deeply antiquated and no longer works.
I guess I'm not really clear on what it offers you.
Could you imagine being in a group and loving everyone equally?
No.
Whether it be platonic or not?
Mm-mm.
Wow. Well, then I don't know what to say.
That's because of Gam's ideas around love.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing I want to talk to you about. This has really been something that has been a personal journey for you. What are your feelings and ideas around marriage as you know it today?
The history of marriage really irks me.
Yeah.
just the history of marriage as a whole and what it has represented over the years for women in particular. I feel like the only way that I would get married is, let's say me and my partner or partners want to help people and we need to put our finances together in order to make that vision happen. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I could see myself getting married.
So there has to be a common purpose.
Yeah, there has to be a purpose beyond, I think you're cute.
And that goes for any relationship. So whether it's polyamorous,
100%.
Whether it's a relationship just with yourself.
100, yes.
It needs to be connected to something greater than you. Because I think the reason why so many relationships are not working is because it's steeped in self-gratification.
100%.
And that is going to get you in trouble every single time.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going to be married, I think one of the things that has to change is the idea that I need a husband, we're going to have a family. Right. No.
Yeah.
What are you planning to build together? What are you planning to do together?
Like, it can't
what just is
be
the purpose of your togetherness? Because it has to be bigger than the two of you. When I look at Justin and Haley,
they're a beautiful couple.
They're a beautiful couple, but not to say that they won't have their difficulties, because they will. But here's the thing that I love about how they've started their relationship. They agree on God.
Yes.
They want to serve God, and they want to love God together. And so that is always their North Star.
Yeah.
So coming to the table is a polyamorous young woman who's in a relationship with a married man. Meet Gabrielle Smith. She practices solo polyamory, meaning she has multiple partners and doesn't consider any of them more important than the others. Aaron is her platonic life partner. Doug is her sexual partner. Alex is her boyfriend. Alex has a wife. Alex's wife has a boyfriend, Jeff. And they're all down with that. Gabrielle has been very open about her relationships and has become a leading voice in the ethical non-monogamy community.
It seems extremely confusing to me. I don't understand it. Gab, I need to hear everything you got to say.
I just want to say I'm so happy that you're here because I see a lot of, you know, white people talking about this specific content.
When I
came across your page, I was like, oh my gosh, a young black woman speaking her truth about this.
That was my whole big thing. The face of polyamory is mostly white people, and that's not my reality, and I knew other people felt the same way.
Yeah.
And the more you see that this is something that exists and this is something that's possible for you, the more people feel like empowered.
How did you come to understanding you wanted a polyamorous relationship?
And the first time I had heard about it, I was reading fan fiction. The main character was in a love triangle. The two guys were supposed to duke it out to figure out who would be her love at the end.
So very barbaric.
Yeah, very barbaric. It was like a vampire thing. At the end, they kind of got an equal score, so she just picked both of them.
Right.
And I was like, wait, this is so much better.
Exactly.
Like, this is possible. And then I was in my first relationship when I was like 17 to 19. And year and a half in, I was noticed I was like looking at other people, and that kind of opened the idea of like, okay, maybe we can do a polyamorous relationship. And then I met Alex, and that kind of solidified things for me.
All right, well, she brought your boyfriend with you.
And he is married and also has other romantic partners besides you. I want to just start getting a little bit of background from you for a second, because we're deeply intrigued, right?
Intrigued and confused.
Oh my goodness.
Gabby's confused.
I am. I'm confused.
Let's pull the curtain back.
A little bit. So you're married to Bridget. Mm-hmm. So how did this lifestyle come up for the both of you?
We've been together almost 10 years.
Got it.
And we've been open for about half of that time.
Okay.
We're about 5 years into our relationship, and you know, there's lots of challenging scenarios that happen in monogamy.
Yeah.
Commitment is a learning experience.
It sure is,
right?
Alex, yes.
Since the beginning, we're always really candid with our relationships when it came to being attracted to other people. When we would socialize at parties, we'd be a little flirty.
Right.
And we kind of dug that about each other.
Yeah.
So one thing led to another, and her and I decided to try to open things up. And I don't think we did it to try to fix our relationship. I've always had this strong feeling of commitment. Like, I really cherish commitment a lot.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a little complicated at first to, like, wrap my head around it. But I was in, because I thought that it would be, like, a journey together.
Yeah.
Totally.
So how did the two of you meet?
We met on Tinder. It wasn't anything crazy. We went on our first date. It was, he was coming from dinner with his wife and a friend of theirs, and we got a drink.
Did everybody come? Or just
no,
you?
No,
it
was just us, okay. Yeah. It was just us.
Too soon.
Too soon,
okay.
Yeah. We waited a month for that.
We clicked.
Do you and his wife have a relationship?
We have
like
a really good relationship.
Platonic relationship?
Yeah, we
I
don't.
I think that's,
yeah, you, we don't
you
date.
You have to. You
because
have to in order
me,
to make it work.
It's pretty much a requirement if I'm like dating someone with a partner. We practice what is called kitchen table polyamory, where like I at the very minimum need to meet someone's partner because I need to kind of know what energy you have going on at home. I need to make sure things are okay. I think we're all very lucky because we get along so well.
Alex's wife, Bridget, shared why your relationship works for her.
Alex is one of the most loyal people I've ever met. Like, more than I could ever even hope to be. Alex is so loyal. Like, if we do skip a date night, or if he sees somebody like three nights a week and we haven't had dinner together yet. Like, I know this sounds maybe crazy to some people, but it really doesn't bother me. Cause I just know at the end of the day that Alex isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I love that she has her own boyfriend because I feel like there's this trend where it's like the men can have all the partners.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, once the woman wants to have a partner, it's like, oh, wait, now we're going a little too far here.
But it's also specifically you can't date other men.
Yeah. It's like, I'm cool with women.
I'm cool with women because a woman can't steal my girl from me, which
exactly. Okay, so I have to interrupt because I am struggling here.
It's okay.
I'm struggling here.
I am ready.
I just don't understand it. It still sounds to me like the major motivation is sexual.
It's not about, I want to have all these partners. I want to do all of these things. It's just like my sexuality. I'm not specifically attracted to men, and I'm not specifically attracted to women or any other gender. It's that I'm open to anything. I want to be able to take opportunities if I feel like they're natural to me.
You also have a platonic girlfriend relationship, life partner.
Yeah, we're just friends. But it was deeper than like a normal friendship. It was very intimate.
Right.
And I think that's what makes the difference. And that's why I consider her like a life partner. I jokingly call her my wife. We did try to like have sex once didn't work.
Yeah.
Like we weren't into it.
Yeah.
Never, like literally mutually decided, we're good. She is so special to me. And like our relationship has like a lot of depth. Romantic and platonic relationships can be equal to me.
Alex, why did you decide to get married in the first place?
Because I deeply loved Bridget. And the show, our commitment to tell each other, like, this is our journey together. But there was a familial element, too. Like, we wanted our whole family to be there together to, like, celebrate our love. And the wedding was amazing. It was beautiful.
What kind of rules or boundaries did you and Bridget create for yourselves?
As we progressed, it was less about boundaries and more about being completely honest and communicative with each other about our intentions, about our expectations of one another. That actually strengthened our relationship because polyamory forces you to make or break. Either you figure it out or you don't.
There are times when we're the only people that can host, in which case...
I get sex-iled.
No.
Well, or she does.
Yeah.
Sex-iling is when you look at the calendar, like, oh, tomorrow so-and-so is coming over and Bridget is hosting. That means that I need to find something to do. I'll either work late or go see a movie or hang out with a friend or go to the bar.
Okay.
To be quite frank, we didn't have too many boundaries at first. We were just interested in exploring and meeting new people and having new experiences, sexual experiences as well. I know what you're thinking. So, and the other thing is, yes, there's a sexual element.
Right.
I do enjoy novel sex, and I don't think there's anything shameful about that.
Right.
If you're being honest with your other partners about it.
Exactly.
Gabby also enjoys novel sex, so does my wife. And that's a part of who we are, and we're not ashamed of it.
Well, I think that's great.
And a lot of...
Meaning, at least you can be honest about it, both of you. Because I think there's a lot of non-consensual... non-monogamy going on because people will not just be honest.
If the numbers add up with all these statistics everyone's throwing around about marriage and how it fails and how it doesn't, then we're all thinking about it.
Yeah.
We just have to talk about it more.
That's exactly my thing. Yeah. It's like, yo, if you're already thinking about it in your monogamous relationship, it's going to be the same in
but
your polyamorous relationship. You
people
just have to be more
are saying you shouldn't be thinking about
but
it.
But everybody is.
Right, but people are and like, people I shouldn't, are, and I,
but
you know,
I want to also put
one,
in,
maybe
though.
One day I'm going to wake up and a miracle's going to happen, and I'm just going to be monogamous, guys.
You know, you all are putting too much on the negative side of monogamy.
It works.
As if now monogamy
people,
is not right.
No.
So we don't want to put that out either.
No, we already established that.
I think what we're talking about.
Don't get frustrated, Willow. Don't get frustrated, because I just want to be clear that some people monogamy.
Yes.
Monogamy itself is fine, but when you form a polyamorous relationship, instead of rules, let's think about boundaries and then agreements.
Yes.
Because rules are very much like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
A boundary is, this is something that I would not like. I think the only real agreement we have is fluid bonding, which is like condom usage with other people.
Which makes a lot of sense because health is
a
big factor.
Thing,
right?
Health.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a
right
health
here.
Thing. So when Alex did have another partner, I asked, you know, I don't want to hear unsolicited sexual details about what's going on.
Right.
Because that was like for my comfort.
It's really interesting because I keep hearing you referring back to Alex for everything. It seems more like he is more your partner than you think.
Because he's like an anchor for me, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, I have dated other people, and I would, maybe not right now, but later I would like to have another partner. Nobody really, like, fully measures up to the level of commitment I get from Alex.
What do holidays look like for you guys?
We celebrated Christmas together.
And, yeah, we did.
And New Year's.
For the first time, or?
Yeah, we celebrated.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
It was me, you, and Bridget. Did Jeff come?
He did come for New Year's.
Yeah, so Jeff is Bridget's boyfriend.
Jeff is Bridget's boyfriend.
We all hung out for New Year's.
So we all hung out for New Year's, and my roommate came with us. So holidays, I think we would like them to be like that.
Alex, when your girlfriend and your wife don't get along, tell me what that looks like.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't happen a lot.
No, it doesn't happen.
No, but it has happened. So I want to know what that looks like.
It challenges my mediation skills when you're... partners get along, it's easier to manage your time.
Yeah.
Because they can do things together. The Google Calendar is red hot if your partners don't get along. Polyamory is not for everybody.
No. Disclaimer!
It's not for everybody.
Yeah, I would think that that would be extremely challenging.
It doesn't have to be such a laborious task if you understand and you believe that love is not a limited resource.
Nobody can take Alex away from me.
Right.
And he's married.
Right.
A lot of people will be like, well, what if Bridget decides that she just doesn't want to do this anymore? I asked him this, like, at one point, and he was like, it's just not going to happen.
And it's because me and Bridget always talk about our issues before they become issues.
Can you give me an example of what you're talking about?
Sure. If I know I'm going to be late and with somebody else, but Bridget is expecting me to be home at a certain time, I gotta warn her ahead of time.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can't just let her assume and be home on time and then show up late and disappoint her.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to manage your expectations with your partners.
I do. Monogamous people can't even do that.
And that's what I'm saying.
And I mean,
that's
you know what I mean? It's like finding
that's my main point.
That level of honesty and being able to have the courage to explore in this way so that you can actually get to a more authentic relationship.
I concurrently can manage multiple relationships, just like I can manage multiple friendships.
Exactly.
Previously, I had three partners at one time.
How did that work out? I mean, how did that work for you? I mean,
it was challenging. I do run my own business, so that's like almost like another commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was challenging for sure. Really stressful.
So he had four partners.
Wow. Yeah. I honestly couldn't see myself going past two outside
either.
Of my
yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
How many other relationships are you involved in right now?
It's just my wife and Gabby. But now, after the pandemic, I'm still excited about opening up my relationship to other people, but not in the same committed way that I am with Bridget and Gabby.
Okay, got it. So, joining the table is someone who just started exploring polyamory. A couple of years ago, 28-year-old Gabrielle Alexa Noel came out as bisexual after a strict religious upbringing. Now she's opening herself up to the polyamorous lifestyle.
Hi!
Today we have Gab and Gab.
The two Gabs.
You consider yourself a poly newbie.
I am. I was just single, but then dating polyamorous people. And then I guess I thought one day, like, I mean, I could just have this for myself.
How does your family feel about you being a poly newbie?
They have no idea. There's...
Uh-oh.
I was very indoctrinated into the church, and they had me sign, like, a purity pact, and there was, like, a lot of measures of control that were baked into the way that I was raised to look at relationships. I just know that they would not understand it, and I would love for them to come to that understanding, and I think one day they will. They just figured the bi thing out. They're just like, okay, like, science says that's okay, I guess,
and
now.
You do have to pick your battles sometimes.
Yeah. Like, right, you can't come out as bi and then you go, and I'm polyam. You gotta be like, I'm bi, let's work on this for a couple years.
Right.
And then you come out as polyam.
Well, I mean, you thinking they're not gonna see you on this show?
I know. I was getting ready to say, they get ready to find out.
Well,
better be ready.
If they did ask me, I'd be ready to give them my take on it.
I actually relate. When I first became public, I became public. I didn't tell my family ahead of time. I lost the nerve. I was so nervous. And they found out the way everybody else found out, on the news. So that was harsh, and I had to work from there.
Yeah.
So I made a mistake. You know, I should have found the nerve. I should have told them and warned them, because there's a social stigma that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't give them a chance to start emotionally preparing themselves, so I do apologize for that. I think they're starting to become more comfortable with it. They sometimes even ask me about Gabby.
Yeah, I've spoken to your mom on the phone.
Yeah, I'm very open. Like, I'll tell them what I'm doing all the time. And sometimes they're ready to hear it, and sometimes they're not so ready to hear it. I'm just working on them being more accepting of me, and then maybe one day, who knows, maybe they'll invite Gabby over.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful. They haven't disowned me, so that's
that's a good thing.
Worried about.
That's right, that's what I was worried about. Yes.
Yeah.
How has it been, kind of navigating those jealousy waters? Because I know when I first started, and I was all like idealistic about it, and then I got in the situation, and I was like, whoa, there's a lot that needs to be addressed within myself. That maybe I need to step away from this situation and address these things because I actually want to like go into this situation with a more how shall I put it? A more like not broken mindset. Like I'm not coming into it like feeling like I'm at a lack.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like coming into it feeling fulfilled and feeling like I can actually handle this. I have the tools. I have the security within. And I just want to know, because you're new at this, like how has that journey been for you?
Prior to polyamory, I was always going through someone's phone or like their, Facebook messages. I was so sneaky. I was so good at it. I was like, this is just something that's just like, I think everyone must be doing in their relationships. And I've just normalized it. And now that there is like no secret for me to find the meaning of finding out that someone's interested in someone else, like that search for cracks, it just like no longer exists.
Yeah. I would have so much work to do.
That's the
myself.
Whole point. That's what I was just trying to tell
you. To be in a polyamorous relationship.
It's real deal.
Jealousy?
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
Yeah.
I did things.
Jealousy is nothing but your own insecurity.
That's your own stuff. Yes.
I did things that I never, that I said I would never do when I was in my fits of jealousy.
Yeah.
And
oh my God,
that made me realize just how much, like, I need to step back and work on myself.
Yeah.
It really puts a mirror up for you to really look at how you really feel about yourself.
Yeah.
I just think I want a different mirror, though.
That different mirror, this is what makes people so angry when you even bring up this whole polyamory thing as an option. How the hell is that supposed to work? You mean I'm supposed? No. The whole reason why I'm in a relationship is so that you can make me feel a certain way and you can validate me in a way that I won't do it for myself.
Right.
So
especially
for women, women are like, hold up. My man is looking at who, or my woman is looking at who? Oh no, I'm supposed to be the only one up
there's
in
so
here.
Many layers.
You know what I mean? So I really realized that how much we use our relationships to bolster our egos, you know, which has absolutely nothing to do with love, nothing at all.
Yeah, you cannot be an insecure person for a long time and
be in this game.
Absolutely
not. Oh no, that's
absolutely
not gonna work. Just like I told you the other day, as long as you are learning to have the greatest love affair with Willow, I'm okay with whatever you do.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Effie Blue, a relationship coach specializing in non-monogamy, has some advice when it comes to jealousy.
Okay.
All right, Effie.
Hi.
Hello.
I work with people who are curious about transitioning into or have hit a roadblock in open relationships.
Love that.
Jealousy is probably the number one topic that comes up when anyone's ever talking about polyamory. It's almost like a fire alarm that's going on in your mind. And all it's doing is giving you a message saying, something is wrong, something is wrong, something is wrong, something is wrong. And just like a fire alarm, you kind of have to like turn it off so you kind of calm yourself and search why it's triggered, like what's causing the fire alarm. You just want to get down to the root of that insecurity and deal with that. And the way that I also like to think about that insecurity is also giving you a clue to what you really truly desire and what you truly want to have. Then find a way to articulate that to your partners, or find ways to meet those needs for yourself. Compersion is something that's really worth talking about if you're talking about jealousy. It's what I call the counterbalance to jealousy. It is joy for somebody else's joy that has nothing to do with you. And it comes up in polyamory often because you are in situations where you see a partner or a partner's having a great time with somebody else and they, you know, look radiant, or they want to tell you all about this amazing person they've just met. In those moments, you get to have a choice. You can feel the jealousy and look at it as a teacher, like, what is this telling me? You can also nurture this feeling of joy for them.
Which is the feeling of love and happiness that you feel because you know your partner is also being fulfilled.
Yeah.
Not by you, but by somebody else.
Real
love.
I practice polyamory myself and I coach people in this, so I'm an advocate. But polyamory takes a lot of bandwidth. And that's emotional bandwidth, that is mental bandwidth, mm-hmm. that's time. And, you know, you have to care for these people, you have to care for yourself, and not everybody has that capacity. Yeah. And that's okay if you don't have it, right? It's not some evolved, like, higher way of being in your relationships. Mm-hmm. You really have to be realistic of what's available with you. Yeah. And whether you enjoy it or not, not everybody enjoys all those long conversations about what you need and what you want and what you want the future to look like.
Right.
Beautiful if that works for you, but it's just not for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. You know what, Effie? Kudos, because I think it's important that we understand that it's not one or the other. It's not, you know what I mean? That this is just another option for people who have the bandwidth and who want this kind of, you know, way of interacting in intimate relationships. Joining us is Michelle. She is second generation Asian American and wants to normalize non-monogamy in the Asian community. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I love the demographics at this table here because polyamory isn't just for white people.
Right.
And
right.
So yeah, I love whenever, you know, we get the chance to like amplify voices that are marginalized within an already marginalized community.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Explain to us how polyamory became an option for you.
Growing up, I was still on the monogamy train, but I had these misgivings. I'm like, well, it seems like the monogamy thing isn't perfect or isn't as perfect as everyone is saying it is. And when I watched movies, like a lot of the time, there was the woman with the two options that she had to choose between, like the love triangle. In my teenage mind, I was like, isn't there a way to have an agreement? And it just clicked for me. And I've never turned back since.
So how does your family feel about you being poly?
So the only person in my family who knows is my sister, because we're super, super close. And I have sort of don't ask, don't tell policy with my family. My mom just like wants our family to just be together and no conflict. So I think she knows herself well enough not to pry.
Right.
Because she knows that details of her children's lives would make her uncomfortable. And I'm at the point where if they were to see this or something, I'd be okay with that.
Right.
I'm just in no rush to try to like, okay, here's the conversation. And here's me trying to kind of justify this to you. And this is me trying to explain and go through this emotional labor to say that like, this isn't just a phase, mom. This is this is very core to who I am. And just deal with it. But yeah, I'm in no rush to get into that conversation.
No, I totally understand that for sure.
You know, I'm sitting up here and I'm really trying to understand and listen and kind of absorb and everything. But as I'm sitting here, I'm recognizing it's really not all that important for me to understand.
Yeah, no.
No, that's fact.
Right.
It's not important for me to understand.
Yeah.
It's important that I be able to listen without judgment and let you do your thing.
Yeah.
And if that means 3 people, if it means 10 people, if that's what works for you, that's great. It doesn't really have anything to do with me.
We're seeking acceptance at the table.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Right.
It's not for us to decide for you how are you supposed to be living your life.
We're not trying to break monogamy apart.
It's like a new counterculture thing. Like, leave me alone. Like,
exactly.
Like, just let me live my life.
Yes. And I just want to say, I feel so just excited and seen because I've been, you know, studying polyamory for a really long time. And I just want to show that there's so much here to be mined and to be uncovered.
Yeah. Tell you what, this was a beautiful uncovering today and burning away the layers and the myths around polyamory. So I really appreciate all you coming.
That was a revelation for me. I'm trying so hard to understand. I ain't got to understand it. I just need to not have judgment about it. Yeah. That's the thing.
I'm good on all that.
It might be TMI, but...
I'm okay with you being polyamorous, Willow.
Thank you.
No issue with it.
Now you just see it like more in depth.
Yeah.
To join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation, follow us at facebook.com/redtabletalk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk Podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.